fighting tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Storm.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Saturday, November 25th, 2023. I'm your host, Jason Barker, and you are watching Knights of the Storm. And today, my co-pilot here is Angus Mustang. How you doing, Angus?
Good. How are you this morning, Jason?
I'm good, man. Did you get enough turkey in you?
No, I gave up on turkeys.
Yeah, I haven't had any.
I'm done with turkey.
Yeah, we're doing that our celebration today after the show. We're going out to Buffalo, Missouri. Gonna eat some turkey, eat some ham, shoot some guns. Gonna be fun. But so today we were gonna have Karen on, and we were gonna talk about EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, 5G, and talk about some of that stuff. But it's been a busy week, so we decided to put that on hold so we can prepare an even better show. So what I did was I decided that the Dr. LaGuardia interview I did, the first one, was in the foxhole, and I wanted to get that information to a larger audience. So we're going to do a replay of that because it's really good information. And before we're going to do that, I do want to talk about information and how we put information out. But first, I'm going to jump into the verse of the week, if that's okay. All right, cool. I don't have a pretty picture for you today. I'm just going to read it off the screen over here. This comes from John 7, verses 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And I picked that because Jesus was an excellent teacher. Absolute great teacher, and he had a way of presenting this radical new idea, this New Testament, right? This new covenant with folks. He had a way of presenting that information in a way that made people want to know more. If you jump over to John 4, there was a story there again. The living water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit in a person, you know. But he strikes up a conversation with this lady at a well, and he says, "Hey, can you get me a drink of water?" And, you know, she gets to talking to him and stuff. And all of a sudden he talks about this living water, and she wants to know more. She's like, "Well, give me this water, because I don't want to come here and draw the water anymore. I want to have this water forever." And so in that spirit, he was really good at like giving people a little breadcrumbs or something. He talked in parables. He talked in a way that people could understand. And he made them want more. And I really like that teaching style. And I think we should apply that to what we do in the alternate media. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes we tend to like throw everything out there, boom, and it turns people away. So let's see. I guess the whole point is messaging. I don't want anybody to compromise their message. You know, you got something important to say. Please try to present it in a manner that's going to not turn people away. Try to give them little breadcrumbs. Try to get them to ask more, because you don't want to be like this, you know.
"Joel Miller, you just found the marble in the oatmeal. You're a lucky, lucky, lucky little boy, because you know why? You get to drink from the fire hose!"
So what did you think about that?
It's kind of like watching Alex Jones.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to thinking about it. You know, I had Yona on. Yona, I had to do that show. It was like a Thanksgiving show, and I had to wait till he was available. So we did one last night, and Chris was there. And I kind of ranted a little bit. And I got to thinking, you know, people's message is important. But the way we present it, if we're not getting the message out there, then we're kind of wasting our breath. You know, we have our audience and audience in the alt media in general are some of the smartest people with some of the most critical knowledge out there. And it doesn't matter if it's a political, a philosophical idea, religious. I mean, even diet. You hear people talking about their diet, you know, no carbs. And, you know, oh, let's just eat straight bacon, you know, Atkins diet or whatever. People get really emotional about that stuff. And I don't know. It's
yeah, it's tribalistic. You get into right. that tribe that this, somebody told me that the bacon diet is the best diet ever. And that's all I want to talk about. Nobody else's opinion matters or anything, or maybe somebody's going to tell me that eating that much bacon is just not that good for you. You know, I don't want to hear it because I'm told eating this much bacon is good for me. So I'm just going to keep eating this much bacon.
For a good example, so I'm not a Trump supporter anymore. You know, a lot of my family still are. Mm-hmm. But if I run up to somebody, let's say I see somebody in a MAGA hat, and I run up there and I start just dumping there, Trump's such a SOB and he did this gun control to executive order and the vaccine and this and that, they're going to just double down and defend Trump more. But if I strike up a conversation and I say, I don't think I'm going to vote for Trump this time around, they're going to ask you why, what's wrong with Trump? Well, I didn't really like the whole vaccine thing, it kind of turned me off. Get them to ask you so they receive the information better. I don't know. That's just something that's been bothering me. I've been seeing it a lot lately, especially with stuff with Israel. People are jumping in the chat and they're taking such a strong stance. And if you believe that and you want people to listen to what you have to say, you've got to present it in a palatable way. Like I said, don't compromise your message, but don't start with, you get stuff in the water. Don't start with this turning the frogs gay. You know what I'm saying? So what do you think? I mean, what's a good way to get the message out there? Whether it be, like I said, political, religious, ideological, whatever. What do you think is a good way that we can get people to want to know more?
The way I look at it is, I believe that we deliver what we know to be the truth. I don't think we beat people over the head like a bag of oranges, telling them that this is it and you can only listen to this. But lots of times it's just give them enough information to stimulate the brain and let them go research it and go, I never thought about this before. And I see a lot of that. I think people sometimes will look and go, I thought this was a stupid idea before, that aliens are running the planet, whatever. But you put that brain, that little nugget in there, and people start looking and going, maybe this isn't so far-fetched, and, do a little bit of their own research. I mean, because nobody's research is 100%, and to be honest, I think, if I do something, I'm looking for what I believe, and I go out and research it, and I might be swayed more by people, a YouTube video that has kind of the same beliefs that I do, than somebody that doesn't have that belief, because I want it to be true. So, and that's where people have to start to make that determining factor. What do you want to see?
Yeah, you're talking about confirmation bias.
Be reminded about it and listen to both sides. I can go. I was watching stuff about the Mandela effect, the other day on YouTube, and just looking at some stuff. And I could sit there and go, every one of these videos is true. But if you sit there and start looking at it and go, you really have to discern for yourself and just not swallow the whole pie at once and just.
Yeah, drink it from the fire hose. Yep. Hey, Gardner just texted me. He's watching. What's up, Gardner? I don't see anybody in the chat
right now. I see Knights of the Storm and Angus Mustang. That's all I see.
Yeah, he says good conversation. Now, Gardner, he's really good about putting out information. I wish I could be as good as he is. Like, he always leaves you wanting more. And that's what we have to do. To me, this information is super, super critical. It's a lot of it's life-saving, especially when it comes to the vaccines and stuff like that. It could be life-saving. You could be talking religious. You're trying to save somebody's soul. But like you said, we can't beat people over the head with a bag of oranges, because your message won't be received. Then what's the point? What's the point? Not trying to sit up on my high tower and show you how much I know and how smart I am. That's not getting the mission accomplished.
Well, that goes to, just looking at Trump supporters is that way. Mm-hmm. They want Trump. He's the savior. And so you get a group of them together and they just talk stupid, and not saying that it's wrong, but just parroting the same things over and over again to each other and just building that, but maybe only half of it's true, mm-hmm. Or their angle on it is true, like building the wall. Well, he built the wall. Yeah, it's only 6 miles wide, but he built the wall. So
A big door.
A lot bigger than the wall.
It's a big old door. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was working on the wall, not the wall, but the roads along the wall, you know, there were areas that, like, if I fell down the hill, I'd be in Mexico. There was nothing. There wasn't even a barbed wire fence or anything there to mark. And that was right outside of town. Like, you could just walk there. So they had this huge wall, like, I don't know, 25 feet high or so, huge wall. And the other section of the road was right on the wall. And you drive, and you could see through it. It was like kind of like a fence, like a privacy fence kind of looking thing. And we drive down where we were extending the road out further for the Border Patrol to use. We go along the wall, and then it turned from a wall. It just ends. And they had these Normandy barrier, you know, the Normandy barrier things, a little crisscrossed. They had those for about 100 feet. And then it was a two-strand barbed wire fence that you could just step over. You know, it's like,
so you just kept getting less and less.
Yeah. It's,
and then it was a bunch of orange cones.
Yeah, a bunch of, yeah, right. But anyway, we kind of got off topic there. I just think the messaging, I thought it was a good time, because right now I see everybody so passionate about what they want to get out and they want people to know it. But we have to do it correctly. We have to do it smart. Let's see if I missed anything here. Yeah, let's just be smart about it. In that spirit of trying to get the message out, the reason I picked this episode that I did with Dr. LaGuardia in the foxhole is because not a lot of people saw it. They didn't know he was coming on. Now, the next couple times he was on, we had a lot of people watch it. And his information is critical. I want to get this information out. So we're playing it today because we have a larger audience. Hey, Patrick's in. He just popped in. What's up, Pat? I wanted to play that because the information is the most important thing. It's not about who's giving it or you know, it's just get it out there. And he's good at putting info out as well, Dr. LaGuardia. So,
yeah, he's not, like you said, he's not trying to beat you over the head with something. He's, you know,
yeah,
he brings his information across in a very intelligent manner, and, you know, not like he's talking down to people or anything. He's going to listen to everything, you know. Seems like a very straight shooter to me. So,
oh, I wish I was there. He'd be my doctor for sure.
That's my wife says it's going to be her doctor. She got the autograph copy. She has to go pick it up.
Oh, nice. So,
one of his books.
All right. Well, hey, anything else you want to talk about before we kick this thing off and play the show?
No, I'm good. I'm fine. Get the show going. So we get. Are we going to Mystery Science Theater 3000 this one, like we did the foxhole the other night?
we could if you want. Yeah, you can talk over it. I'm going to mute myself, but, you know, maybe I'll jump in. And
I'm not going to talk over it. I'll just be in the chat.
Yeah, I'll be in the chat too. So, all right, I'm going to go ahead and play it, and we will see y'all in the chat. It is Thursday, October the 12th, 2023. And I have a really cool guest with me today because 2023 was supposed to be the year of solutions for us. With Knights of the Storm and the Foxhole. And this guy, you know, no big deal. He's only sold over 50,000 copies of a book. Got a couple other books, and we'll talk about that. Medical doctor and author and Substack writer, Dr. LaGuardia. So, Dr. LaGuardia, how you doing this afternoon?
Pretty good. How are you, Justin?
I'm doing pretty good. So I guess to get started, we'll just talk about, you know, you're a medical doctor. You're bona fide, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bona fide. And go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm a triple boarded. I have three specialties. Wow. I'm boarded in internal medicine, bariatrics, which is weight loss and nutrition, and geriatrics. But my real interest is integrative medicine, which is combining alternative with traditional medicine, because quite frankly, there's a lot of bullshit in both of them. And so I like to, I've been in practice 35 years, and I've learned over the years the stuff that's just nonsense and the stuff that's excellent for us in both worlds. In the alternative world, there's a lot of crazy stuff. But I find that to be a really a potent model for my patients. And that's what my books basically are based on.
Yeah. And I guess we'll talk about the books here in a little bit. The thing that intrigued me, because one of your patients had contacted me and contacted you and said that you would be good to come on the show. You know, you'd be a great guest to have. Basically, everybody, all my listeners kind of know my backstory. I was active duty military, and when the COVID shot came out, I saw some problems with it. my opinion, and maybe you can inform me on this a little bit if you want. My opinion is, I looked at what they said it was, and to me, it looks like a man-made virus. It is a RNA message packaged in a lipid nano cell or like shell to protect that message. And then it basically injects itself into the nucleus of your cell and tells it to make something different. And that, to me, that's exactly what a virus does. I grew up in the 80s. We were really educated about AIDS. I had a family member that had AIDS and ended up dying. And they made sure I understood how viruses spread and what they are. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, if what they told me is true back in the 80s, then in my opinion, this vaccine they rolled out with, which is, barely tested, it just looked to me like it was very dangerous. And, I also had religious exemptions about messing with my DNA, because there's a thing called reverse transcription that my doctor told me was not possible. However, I've read
get a new doctor.
Yeah.
That's my advice to you.
but I'll make the long story short for you. What happened was I ended up doing a religious exemption. I was in the one of my wheelhouses was equal opportunity rep, which deals with religious exemptions for haircuts and shaving and things, also with vaccines and stuff. So I wanted to help others be able to know the process if they wanted to also file for that exemption. And that's what got me started into this whole thing, actually. And I made it out by the skin of my teeth. I actually made it to retirement and got the heck out of there. And when I was told that you also didn't take the vaccine, I was like, I've got to talk to this guy. Because I want to know what your rationale was behind it, what you think about the vaccine, maybe about COVID in general. Yep. So I guess I'll leave it there and you can take off.
Yeah. I studied, as you know, I'm a physician. And so I've always been interested in stuff. I've always been interested in the behind the scenes story behind it. And as I studied, I always liked virology. I always liked to study viruses. So being a nerd, I was into that anyway. But when I was looking at the messenger RNA viruses, vaccines, in particular, as I looked at the history of them, all the experimental animals died, every single one of them. And so what did they decide to do before they rolled it out for us was stop the experiments with the animals. And so I thought, well, that's great. Where are the experiments in? Where are the experimental guinea pigs for this horrific vaccine? And that certainly has proven to be true. And so I refused to take it from the very beginning. A lot of people got out of it because I discovered that there was all three of the vaccines contain polyethylene glycol, which is Miralax, which basically is a laxative, but it's in there for all of them. And so a lot of patients I have are allergic to polyethylene glycol, so couldn't get the vaccine. So that worked out great for them, including me. And but there was a lot of pressure. I'm probably one of a few. I don't know if there's even five of us in Connecticut that didn't take the vaccine among physicians. Everyone just jumped on board. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, and what was more disheartening than anything was the atmosphere among my colleagues changed so abruptly with this. They went COVID crazy, and there was no debating anything. It was open and shut. It was dogmatic, and you better accept it or else. And that, of course, I'm from New Jersey. That, of course, got me pissed off right from the beginning. And so I was like, "No, I'm not. What are you talking about?" And so I ran into some problems with the powers that be, because it eventually got back to them that I was advising patients not to get vaccinated. Although that being said, I would still say over 95% of my practice got vaccinated, because they were just either work-related problems, travel problems, or other problems, or they were just terrified.
Can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah.
I really wanted to pick your brain from the other side of the fence, from the medical side, because I'm the patient side, you're the doctor side. And we have a friend, his name is Handy. He's an EMT and he keeps us filled in. I've been doing it for 20 years, so he has a really good baseline. So the ramifications of the vaccine and what could potentially be COVID or whatever, he's been keeping us filled in. So I kind of get that aspect from the EMT side, but a doctor is a complete different story. When your colleagues started seeing the narrative shifts or the so-called science that's locked in, when it would change, did they not question that? Because Fauci would say one mask, two masks, mask,
right?
That didn't sway them to say something's off.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. you know, I argue with them from the beginning. They said, well, you got to wear a mask. And I said, why? I said, the virus is three nanometers. The mask, the best mask is 10 nanometers. I said, so, you know, I mean, it's like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence. I said, this is stupid. It's not going to do anything. This is, you know, and so, and in addition to which, you're cutting down the oxygen for people wearing them, you're circulating all kinds of bacteria, and it has a whole host of problems. But just from the particle size of the virus, I thought, why is this even an argument? This is stupid. And in the beginning, they, like you said, Fauci said, oh, you don't need a mask. Then they switched and did it. And so I was on the outs from the very beginning, and I was questioning things. And I just thought, this, why don't we boost people's immune systems? Why are we doing this? I was always for that. I was always for a functional medicine approach, or where I think that's best to supply the body with everything it needs. And a body is incredibly strong and resilient and will get past things quite easily. For example, when they confronted me about not advising my patients to get vaccinated, I had a big sit-down meeting with the powers that be, and they tried to crush me, but my arguments were irrefutable. Every time I brought up something, it was crickets, and they just didn't even know what I was talking about half the time. But I said to them, I haven't had a flu shot in 30 years. That blew their minds, because I'm primary care. You know, I see the flu all day, every day. I said, I've never gotten the flu. And they said, why? How could that be? I said, because what you guys don't realize is flu is a vitamin D deficiency. That's what's causing it. That's why it comes in winter. That's because they know that from studies on submariners. Sailors are on submarines. Mm-hmm. They put them, they went underwater, and they tested their levels of vitamin D and various other substances. And they realized after 3 months of being without sunlight, their vitamin D levels were abysmally low. And
so wait a minute. That means that the lockdown and putting people in their homes, not being allowed outside on the beach and the parks, mm-hmm. you know, they wouldn't let you in the park. That was a kind of a bad thing to do. It sounds like
a terrible thing. Everything they did was a terrible thing to do. It was stupidity compounded by more stupidity. And it just kept blowing my mind. So I said to them, I said, look, and they said, how could that be? I said, well, look at it this way. He said, why is Australia, during their winter, they get the flu, even though it's spreading around the world, they don't get it until their winter comes, which is the opposite of ours. You know, and I also showed them, I said, there's been studies. There was a hospital in Washington State, I believe, a huge prison, and it had two buildings. In one building, a doctor was integrative, like myself, and the other building was a traditional doctor. And the integrative doctor thought, like me, that this is a vitamin D deficiency, and he put the entire all the prisoners on vitamin D, and the other building did not. They had a huge flu outbreak as it was. The guards got it even in the prison with the vitamin D, because they didn't get the vitamin D, but none of the prisoners did. And
interesting,
and
that sounds like science to me. That sounds like a controlled experiment.
And that was, and one of the other things that people make the great mistake with, I teach this in all my books and my Substack, is that vitamins come in two types, fat soluble and water soluble. Soluble means what they dissolve, mm-hmm. as you know. And yep. all vitamins are fat soluble except for B and C. So A, D, E, K, multivitamins, everything. If you don't take them with fat, they're going right through you. And so I have patients that come to me all the time, new patients. And doc, I know everything about vitamins. Oh, yeah. When do you take them? Yeah, I take them at bedtime on an empty stomach. Yes. I said, I've been doing that for 30 years, doc. I said, well, I got bad news for you. you have very expensive urine. it's just a waste that people don't know. That's why I try to empower them and teach them. And because you really can take hold of yourself and prevent or treat these infections. Infected, my most recent book, which, as you said, sold 50,000 copies already, is very popular. And because it empowers people, it teaches them how to treat every infection from head to toe without pharmaceuticals. Just doing things in their home and different things they could have. So when I was confronting these guys about that, I blew their mind about the vitamin D. And then they said to me, well, how are you, what are you doing for, you know, these COVID patients? And I said, I'm treating them with nebulized hydrogen peroxide. And they said, what? So you can't nebulize hydrogen peroxide? I said, I beg to differ. I said, of course you can. You can nebulize anything that's water soluble. And they said, well, how could that be? And they would, I mean, their lips were shaking. They were livid with me. And I said, well, why are you guys getting so mad? I said, I have almost 100% success rate with treating COVID with that.
And real quick, and I got a question in the chat I'll get to in a second. Karen, I see your question there. you mentioned something that kind of perked my ears up. You said that your colleagues were kind of coming down on you for not recommending the vaccine. You weren't saying don't take it. You were just not pushing it. Is that what you're saying?
No, I was saying don't take it.
Oh, you were saying don't take it. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to clarify
No, I was very clear to my patients. I said, listen to me. This is dangerous. You're going to regret taking this vaccine.
I said, you don't need it.
You know,
the first thing that I thought, you know, when I looked into, you know, how this thing works, because, you know, with us, it was they said it was voluntary, but it was voluntary as long as we got to 75%. Otherwise, it'd be mandatory. So mandatory. So it was a mandatory voluntary. You know, it was going to be. So I started my research early. And the one thing that caught my attention was, you know, the way this thing works, your body is going to be turned into a machine that cranks something out that your body then wants to fight.
Right.
And your immune system is eventually going to get wore out over time. And I thought, you know, this is going to cause an immune deficiency at some point if this thing doesn't turn off. And that's the thing is, they said, well, it only goes for so long. But I mean, what happens when that cell, it's got the instructions, it keeps cranking out these proteins, these spike proteins, and the cell divides and becomes two cells.
Right.
And that should, in theory, go to both cells. So now you got two cells cranking out this thing. There is no off switch. So I immediately said that this thing has a potential to have a cause immune deficiency, which is basically like AIDS, right?
Oh, definitely. What happens? Let me backtrack 1 second. We go back. My argument to them was all respiratory viruses, all of them, flu, any kind of respiratory virus, rhinoviruses, everything, COVID, are all susceptible. They're all susceptible to two things, vitamin D and vitamin C. And so my argument with them was, why not provide two things that not only treat the virus and prevent it, or treat it if it comes up, just change the dose, also has nothing but beneficial side effects. Yeah. I mean, vitamin D is more like a hormone than a vitamin. It has unbelievably great benefits for you. In women, it protects from breast cancer, it protects you from osteoporosis, it protects you from infections, it protects you from respiratory virus. I mean, the list is endless. Vitamin C, the same thing. And, you know, once again, the argument is, well, there's no study showing this. And I said, yes, there are. There's tons of studies showing this. You guys just don't know them. You know, they're out there all the time. There's an orthomolecular medicine site, which is fabulous, has all kinds of studies over years and years. And if you go to PubMed, which is all the medical articles, research articles published, as you know, there's tons of articles showing how vitamin C and vitamin D work. You know, and I said to him, I'm a living example of it. Why did I never get the flu if I'm exposed to it all day, every day? And they were just shaking their heads. They just couldn't refute any of my arguments, and so they walked away quite angry with me. But
all right, well, let me get to this question, and I'm going to kind of caveat it with a question I had as well, because I actually had the same question. But Karen, she asked, has the doctor seen a sudden death trend amongst doctors and healthcare workers similar to what's happened in Canada? Dozens and dozens of youngish doctors dead in Canada. I know in the military, I've seen people, you know, once in a while you'd hear about somebody dropping dead from some, you know, heart condition that wasn't caught by, you know, every year or two, we have our health checkups and things like that. You go to a major school like Ranger School or something like that, Pathfinder or something, you got to go through a major checkup. So it's really hard to understand. You know, we'd see it if the soldier was in the Army for like a year or two, but somebody that had been in the Army that's continually exercising, you know, hopefully they're eating right, but they've been in the Army for 20 years, 15 years, even 10 years, unexplained something that wasn't caught before to happen, and they just drop dead suddenly. That's unheard of, absolutely unheard of. And I know of three people within, I don't know, 8 months time that died. And, you know, I know they're going to blame it on long COVID. They're going to blame it on this and that and the other. Heck, I just got an email today or a text today. Buddy said that Mary Lou Retton, which I remember from the '80s, I was a kid. She was gymnast star. She had her own TV show about staying in shape and health and stuff. But she apparently is fighting for her life right now. She got a form of pneumonia, and she can't breathe on her own. You know, typical stuff. Intubate them.
Yep.
Have you seen that in your profession, like unexplained people just dying or getting sick?
Oh, definitely. I've lost probably 15 middle-aged, almost all of them middle-aged men in my practice who were found dead the morning, every one of them vaccinated. And most of them within 3 months of their last booster, found dead in bed, sudden death, strokes, heart attacks. You know, they assume they don't do autopsies on hardly anyone anymore. Health workers for sure. There's lots of doctors are dropping, but once again, everyone's got the blinders on. Oh no, it can't be that. You know, overall, the rate of unexplained sudden death in the United States last year was up 40%. 40%. A 10% rise, they said, would be a black swan event. Something that happens one in 200 years. A 40% rise, and the insurance companies, it's like such fools, say, well, we can't explain why.
Well, there's indicators out there. There's funeral homes that you can't get a funeral in time before the body's going to start rotting. You know, they're just booked solid. We've got our buddy Handy. Like I said, he's the EMT. He has a friend who wishes to remain anonymous. He won't come on, you know, on the air, but he's an insurance guy. And he's saying that now, if you have been, you know, double jabbed and boosted, you can't get the preferred rates because they know.
Smart, right? Right.
Yeah, they know. They're like, okay, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I exercise every day, I'm in my mid-30s,
right?
Blah blah blah. But you know, you can't get the preferred rate because you've got the shots. And he won't come on and tell us that that's their policy. But yeah. I trust Handy. I've known him for years and years. We re-met up online, you know, but I've known him from way back in the day.
Well, do you know about turbo cancers?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, turbo cancer.
Well, that's another thing. With the nature of the way the vaccine was stated that would work before it was even released, if your cell stops doing what it's supposed to do and it's doing something else, then it's basically becoming a cancer cell. And if it multiplies, it becomes a tumor. Because my understanding is a cancer is some cells that ain't doing what they're supposed to, and they're just sitting there taking up space.
They're not taking up space. They're dividing. They're multiplying unchecked. Usually there's checks on multiplication. You multiply till it satisfies whatever it needs, and then it stops. But they're unchecked, and the more primitive they are, the more dangerous they are. And cancers. I mean, I just had a girl the other day, 34 years old, fully boosted, fully vaccinated, has terminal stage 4 cancer. They opened her up, cancer everywhere, closed her. No risk factors, nothing, and sent her home to die. You know, and I've seen half a dozen of those in the last year. In fact, I have a friend who's an oncologist, and I was just with him on vacation in Florida, and we were talking about it, and he said that all of his colleagues are freaked out because they're seeing cancers that they haven't seen. They see one in their career or two. They're seeing, you know, 3 in a year or 5 in a month of certain ones, and just these unexplained, very rare cancers coming up all over the place in young people who have no risk factors. Right. Once again, everyone's just shaking their heads about it. Eventually, it's got to come all these young athletes dying. Mm-hmm. I believe between 1967 and 2021 or 2020, there were 1,100 athletes that died worldwide during playing sports. In the next year after that, after the virus came out, it was up to 1,500 in 1 year. And now it's approaching 2,500. Yeah, and you see, you hear it all the time. So-and-so dropped dead. School bus drivers dropping dead while they're driving. Kids have to grab the wheels of school buses and manhandle them to the side.
Pilots, well, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. You know, they talk about, you know, you can't get an airplane flight because we have a staffing shortage and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's because pilots are being grounded. You know, either they quit, either they died, or they quit because they didn't want the jab.
Yeah.
Or they now have a condition where they're not allowed to fly. That's really the elephant in the room. And then also you got, we've always seen celebrities die, and we're not just talking sports people. We're talking musicians, movie stars, actors, things like that. But there's always something tied to it. Like they had a drug overdose, a car wreck, a plane crash, but now they don't tell you, tell you why they died. And we've had an unprecedented amount in the past, 24 months. Right. Of celebrities dying and nobody's talking about it.
No, yeah. Eventually, people are going to start realizing, and there's going to be an outrage over it, as there should be. And it'll hopefully string up Fauci and his boys. And it's unbelievable that they've got away with it this far. It's because we have a media that is uninterested. Just a part of the DNC. They won't do anything to rock the boat. And so they only ask critical questions. They just sit there playing along with the game. But what I did earlier in the pandemic or plandemic was I started testing for D-dimer levels, because the spike protein, and what happened, as you know, the virus, the vaccine causes the cells to produce spike protein. The theory was then we would become immune because we would make antibodies to the spike protein. It was supposed to only do it for a short time and stop. But as you surmised earlier, they say, oh, it'll never become part of the DNA. Well, with reverse transcriptase, that enzyme allows RNA to become DNA. And that's exactly what happened. It incorporated those genes, for the viral genes that they injected in there, right into our DNA. So everyone who's gotten the vaccine has permanently changed their DNA forever. There's no going back over that. And the more vaccines you had, even the government said recently, the more vaccines you had, the more likely you are to get COVID and get sicker from it. And yet they went on and recommended children getting vaccinated, which is complete madness. You know, kids don't get it. They're at no risk. And if they get it, they don't even know they have it. Why would you add another vaccine to these kids who are already over vaccinated? It's obscene.
You know, you were asking me before we came on, you're like, how many people listen to the show and stuff? And unfortunately, they kicked us off YouTube for life. And you know why they did that? The final straw was we pulled out those papers that Pfizer wanted to hide for 75 years.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Yeah, we pulled out one of their papers and we read from it verbatim.
Right.
We had it on screen, and they said, after they had just went on the news and said that it was safe and effective for pregnant women, and it's good for children, and don't worry about it if you're pregnant.
Right.
In their documentation.
Then why close it for 75 years?
Right. Well, their documentation, and it was dated like a day or two prior to our report. And so it was up to date. It wasn't some old document. It was up to date. Right. And it said that they had zero data on pregnant women, on what happens to the breast milk, whether it transfers to the fetus. And they did admit in that document that young men, young boys, had a higher and elevated risk of myocarditis and pericarditis.
Right.
And we reported on that, and they booted us off YouTube for life. So
it's a badge of honor. Don't worry.
Yeah. I wear it like that. I sure do.
Right. I've been for near several times, but not for life. And what I was going to say was the spike protein, it causes endothelial damage. Endothelium is the lining of blood vessels. And what it does, it acts like a little Velcro ball. And it gets into the small capillaries and lodges in there. And those are the clots that it propagates from there. That's what you see on autopsies from, funeral parlors around the country, from undertakers who have some ethics, will say, I've never seen anything like this. It's just all through their bodies. And so I started testing for D-dimer. D-dimer is one of the things you get when there's a clot. And you shouldn't have any D-dimer. It should be ridiculously low if you have it. But I started testing patients who were vaccinated. I had a 62% positive rate of elevated D-dimers. Jeez. So it's terrifying. So I started putting people on anticoagulants. I started looking for the clots where they would be. I did CAT scans of their lungs to look for a pulmonary embolus. I did ultrasounds of their legs looking for clots. I have to say, I never found even one of them, which went along with the theory that it's at the capillary level still. But that's a time bomb for the future. Eventually it's going to propagate towards larger vessels and eventually infect organs as it does. And so when I met with the powers that be, I kind of set them up with this question. I said, what would you do if you saw I'd say 5%, even 10% spike in D-dimers in patients you were testing? Would that panic you? So of course we'd be very concerned about that. And I said, well, I've got a 62% positive rate. It was actually 62.5, but I rounded off and gave him a break. I said, I've got a 62% positive rate. What do you think of that? And they said, with what? And I told them, they said, you're doing something wrong. I said, I send it to Quest. I said, I don't have my own lab doing this. I'm sending these to Quest, the lab we all rely upon. And they said, something's wrong. I said, yeah, you're right. Something's wrong. These are people who are vaccinated. And they just would not acknowledge it. They kept blaming it on me. They were punishing the messenger, and they actually threatened my license indirectly. And they said, well, we don't want to report you to the State Board of Health. I said, for what? For saving people from what, this horrible vaccine. But that's just the way medicine is now, unfortunately.
Well, I gotta ask you something, and I've seen this come up in David Knight's chat. I hang out in the chat and talk to people. He's had guests on that you know, or professionals that talk about their experience with this. And one thing that I haven't seen sufficiently answered, and maybe I'll ask you because it's come up many times. So I believe there's shedding that goes on just because I've seen what's happened with my wife and my daughter with their menstrual cycles. Mm-hmm. And
they were vaccinated?
No, they were not. Oh. But we had friends that were, and they got vaccinated, then they came over and were hanging out, and then immediately they both had problems. And so I believe, I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the spike protein does shed. It makes sense to me that if this thing is a man-made virus, which I consider it to be a man-made virus, it would spread like a virus.
Yep.
But I guess the big question people want to know that believe in the shedding, is it just shedding the spike protein and that's it? Then our body has to deal with it. Or is there a possibility of shedding to get the mRNA in you as well? That's kind of like,
I'm not sure about that, but I think it's just the spike protein.
Yeah. That's what I would assume as well.
Right. Now, I know it's not a death sentence. There's stuff you can do. On my Substack page, I've written probably 5 or 6 articles on different things you can do. There's selenium, quercetin, bromelain, methyl in blue. I have article after article about things you could do. But the most beneficial thing you could do if you are vaccinated and you have an elevated D-dimer is to take fibrinolytic enzymes, stuff like natokinase, ceratopeptidase, or lumbrokinase. These are enzymes that just affect the end product of clotting, which is the clot itself, fibrin. It just dissolves that. So it doesn't cause bleeding like Coumadin does, or Xarelto, or Eliquis, or any of the Brilinta, any of the other ones. It has no potential to bleed because it's not affecting the cascade that leads to the clot like they do. So it only affects the end product. It's actually quite good for you. It does a lot of good things. I just had a cardiologist call me up because I had a patient on lumbrokinase. And he said, you've got them on this. Why? I said, his D-dimer is elevated. He goes, why? And they always ask me the same thing. Why did he even check it? And I said, because he's vaccinated. They said, I don't understand.
That's funny, though. I got to jump in there. That is funny. They say, why do you check it? Because typically when you go in the hospital, they try to do every damn test they can do to rack that bill up.
Except that one.
You know? Except for that one. And that's another thing. I guess to shift gears here. Do you think, I think people don't want to admit what's going on because it's kind of like that thing that if you had cancer and you're going to die tomorrow, would you want to know, or would you just want to live in bliss? Right. You know, I think people realize they screwed up and they're kind of like living with a kind of cognitive dissonance, where, you know, they know they screwed up, but they want to pretend like they didn't because they just don't want to know it.
Right.
But on the doctor's
side, the ostrich effect, bury your head in the ground and everything will go away.
But on the doctor's side of the house, and I don't know how high up this goes. I'm pretty sure it's up in, you know, the administration levels of hospitals. But weren't they getting paid a lot of extra money to get that clinical diagnosis?
I mean, that was one of my arguments with the so-called death rate from COVID. It was never higher than seasonal flu. It never was. It was always just as low as seasonal flu. And what they did, though, however, was there was a difference between dying from COVID or dying with COVID. And the vast majority of the people who died with COVID, not from it. So if you were tested positive for COVID on a Wednesday and you weren't even sick and you went out and got hit by a truck on Thursday, you were a COVID death. And I said, this is, and the reason was, you're exactly right. Follow the money.
When I saw that the Army was going to come after me, I considered doing a medical exemption and then the religious exemption and stuff, and I started pulling apart numbers. And it's kind of funny because up until that point, the overall deaths were actually down. When they were over the year prior and the year prior, actually on a downward trend.
More and more people had antibodies to it.
Yeah. Well, the cancer and heart disease, which was the top two at the time, had plummeted, and then COVID went up. But if you add them all up together, they were still down from the normal. So I think, like you said, they were just saying that, you know, someone died from a heart attack, but they had COVID because we got to get that money.
Right.
And our friend Handy, he said that he had witnessed with his own eyes a guy come in, obviously from cardiac arrest. They did nothing for him until they got him a COVID test. So here a guy's dying and you're not doing life-saving care because you need to get that positive COVID test first. To me, that's a medical malpractice, you know?
Well, you know, one of the arguments I made in the very beginning was everyone said, oh my God, this thing's going to mutate. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. I said, you guys don't know virology. I said, never does a virus mutate to more lethal. It always mutates to more contagious, yeah, less lethal. You know, because what the virus wants is market share. It doesn't want to kill you. For right. example, the first MERS that came out in SARS-1, they were very deadly. They had like a 30 to 35% mortality rate. And that's why it didn't go anywhere, because people got so sick, they went to bed and died. And so it didn't go anywhere. And so that was a dead end for the virus. So virus doesn't want that. Virus doesn't want to kill you. The ideal situation for virus, a dream situation for the virus, is something like cytomegalovirus. So almost every sexually active adult has and spreads and doesn't even know it. Virus wants to live on and go on. Now, one of the other things that's amazing is that a large part of our DNA is viral. And mm-hmm. so part of, you know, it used to be the school of thought, even I had this school of thought in medical school, was that mutations, random mutations caused, you know, changes and led to evolution. As you mutated to something that gave you an advantage, you would live longer and that would be passed on. But it turns out it might not be that at all. It might be viral infections are how we evolve. So it may be that the viral, there may be a gene that the virus that we incorporate from being sick from the virus that goes into our DNA that gives us moving forward in time some survival advantage. And that's how more evolution occurs, much more likely than a random mutation for no reason. And as we look at our DNA, we can prove that because you see various different numbers. I've seen everything from 16 to 23% of our DNA is viral, which is mind-boggling. You know, and that'll be with us forever. You know, so eons back, we picked up this virus from somewhere that helped us, and that's how evolution really occurs. So it's fascinating stuff. So the story of viruses always goes less lethal, more contagious. And that's exactly what's happening with every variant that we've had. Doing it.
I mean, it makes sense. If you wanted to survive, you're not going to kill your host, you know, right. because
right. But everyone's ignoring that. You and I realize yeah. it. Yeah. As I would make that argument, people would hear. My wife would come to me to some meetings and stuff. And I would get up and do my thing, you know, and there would always be crickets, of course. And it was very polite to me. That's very interesting, Dr. LaGuardia. Thank you for your, you know, your input. And she goes to me, why do you bother? They don't even know what you're talking about. And I said, well, I've got to get it out there. You know, I've got to get it off my chest.
You know what amazes me is I'm not a doctor. I have no medical training outside of first aid, you know, first aid kind of stuff, combat lifesaver, basic stuff. And just the common sense of this whole thing from day one is from basic junior high and like freshman, sophomore year, biology and science.
Right.
I know they don't teach school anymore. They don't teach stuff they're supposed to in school, but right. people my age should know this stuff. Right. They should say, this doesn't make sense to me. Like you said, a virus doesn't spread to kill everybody because then the virus has nowhere to go to live.
Right. Right.
It wants to become endemic right. where it lives with everybody and just happy, right. you know, it's a happy life right now. So I don't know. It just amazes me how people, did they forget school?
Or well, even worse, what's happening now is the new bivalent vaccine for COVID is for extinct viruses. It's two variants that were long gone. And they just keep doing this. They keep injecting people with those variants are gone forever. They're out of the population. They're gone. And they just keep vaccinating people for stuff that's not going to help them at all.
It's a racket. It really is. It's a
pharmaceutical, a lot of money. Racket. It's like the RSV vaccine. I've never seen RSV in an adult. I've been in practice 35 years. They're pushing that new vaccine on people because they came up with a vaccine and it's $1 billion, you know, product. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was even before they had the vaccine. They already had prepped for it. I know I was because I wasn't vaccinated. I had certain protocols I had to follow at work before I got, you know, before I retired, and I was sick with a little something, food poisoning or something, but hey, if I had COVID, I didn't want to give it to somebody and then have them come punish me because I didn't get vaccinated. And I didn't tell someone I was sick. Right. So I went to my doc during PT, and you know, PT is when we exercise in the morning. And I said, hey doc, I'm feeling a little sick. And he's like, well, go to sick call and go get tested. And anyway, they wouldn't see me there. And I went to see another place and they sent me to the ER. Sat in the ER forever. Finally, I go in. The nurse there and the doctor both were bitching about the mask. They said the whole thing was BS. They were mumbling under their breath. And, you know, they were the same people pushing it on everybody, but yet they knew themselves. So I told him, I said, well, I'm not vaccinated and I don't want to get in trouble for getting someone sick. So can I get my COVID test and get out of here? They're like, COVID's not a thing anymore. It's RSV now. This is before they had, you know, had the advertisements for the RSV vaccine. So they've kind of already staged it for the next sale, you know?
83% of children, by the time they reach 3 years old, have had RSV and have antibodies to it and no longer, in fact, you know, susceptible to it. You know, it's not a problem in adults. I've never seen an adult. And it's you know, it's a vaccine in search of an illness, you know?
Right. There you go. Well, hey, I'm going to pause real quick. I want to say hi to all the people in chat that are watching us right now. We got Tony, you know, Tony.
Yeah.
Raul, he's in there.
And thank you, Tony, for setting this up.
Yeah, this is great. I appreciate that. I also do a show with him. Well, it's him and Angus Mustang. That's their, you know, he's Lord Raul and the other guy's Angus Mustang. That's their show names. And they do one every other Saturday called Event Horizon. So I don't know if you want to check that out or not, but it's on Rumble. And I'm quite often there. I like hanging out with them. But anyway, we got Karen Carpenter. Thanks for the excellent question, Karen. Little John's in the house. Doc Pigeon, we call him Doc. He's in the house. Chris Graves, I hope you're feeling better, brother. I know you've been sick lately, and I just pray you're feeling a lot better. Who else? Angus is in there. A lot of chat going on.
Any questions for them?
Yeah, if you get any questions, do like Karen did and type it in all caps so it stands out. Oh, Tom Cooper is in there. What's going on, Tom? Geese Busters. Interesting thing about Geese Busters. He worked for like getting geese, not non-lethal ways to get geese off of golf courses, and he worked on Donald Trump's golf course. So interesting backstory. And yeah, that's all we have in the chat. I know there's more people watching, but that's who's in the chat. So hey, let's take a break. I'm gonna do something different. We're gonna start doing commercials for our friends. And I got this little commercial for Audi, who runs a radio station, excellent radio station, modern retro radio. It's kind of like your old classic rock artist kind of thing, but it's the songs that they didn't play a million times on the radio. So I'm going to run that commercial. And when we come back, can we talk about your books a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, cool. We'll be right back.
New music, classic artists. That's how we do it here at Modern Retro Radio.
Lenny Kravitz has just released his 11th studio album.
Here is the ever-enduring pop genius, Beck.
Giving you the latest from Sheryl Crow.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Marilyn Manson. This is Garbage, a song called Blood for Poppies.
Robert Cray's channeling Al Green.
Better known as Chaka Khan.
Brand new music from Parliament Funkadelic. Back in the 1980s and 1990s, we knew him as Terrence Trent D'Arby.
This is Taylor Dane.
You know that group, Foo Fighters?
I'm vaguely familiar with them, yeah.
The new album from Slash, Phil Collins, covers the Four Tops.
Metallica's 2016 double album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
Here we got Aerosmith with Beyond Beautiful.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and stop it there. The rest of the interview, we talked about his books. If you want to go check out Dr. LaGuardia's books, go over to theknightsofthestorm.com and then go on the read section, and you'll see his books are all listed there. I've got the Doomsday Book of Medicine. I've got bookmarked right here the section that talks about high blood pressure, because I got to deal with that, like ways that you can deal with it naturally. And anyway, great stuff. Basically shows you how to make your own medicine, you know, stuff you can eat, stuff you can use in like an apocalyptic situation, you know, whenever the pharmacy won't be open. So, but I need to get out of here. We're getting ready to take off. I'm watching my grandson right now. Come here and get up here, JJ. Ah,
I got free.
Yeah. And you're still muted there, Angus. But anyhow, so I'm going to go ahead and get ready because we're taking off.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. Yeah, the rest of, like I said, the rest of the interview, rest of the interview was about his books. So please go check out his books. If you got to get just one, get the Doomsday Book of Medicine. And anyhow, I guess we'll do final thoughts and then we'll close it out. So what do you think?
No, I like Dr. LaGuardia. I mean, I think there was a lot of good information there. Like you said, his books, he's got some long books, I'll tell you that, 900 pages or something like that. But he knows his stuff, and he's not afraid to challenge people on the other side of, you know, other doctors on the other side of the aisle that are just, you know, going along with the propaganda they're told, or what I perceive as propaganda, you know, the vaccine people.
Yeah, and I like that he's kind of looking at it like he said that it's not death sentence. You know, there's things you can do. So that gives people hope, people that might not want to admit that they screwed up by taking the shot. So, you know, if you can at least admit you screwed up, and then you can start working on how to solve that problem or mitigate it. So.
But yeah, it's a total... I was just kind of looking at stuff. I'm preparing for my show tonight. Just looking at things, and it's just so much you have to look through to find the truth, and then you don't even know if it's the truth what you're looking at anymore. It's just, I was just, when you came back on, I was looking at Fox News anchors, how much they get paid. And it is no wonder these people just parrot any script that they're handed.
Well, what do they get paid?
It varies from, I mean, they're all well over millions of dollars.
Wow. Just to read teleprompter.
Yeah. And these people aren't reporters. They're just, like I said, they're just, you know, and most of them are very nice looking women that, you know, they put on there for eye candy and here, read this. They're not reporters. They're just parrots. I mean.
So yeah. And that goes back to our initial point before we played the interview. You know, we got to help each other out and get our message out, but, you know, don't shoot the fire hose in people's face, you know, put it out in a way. Cause we don't get the information elsewhere. You know, we get the Mockingbird Media, whatever the soup du jour is. We gotta, if we're going to make a difference, we have to make sure people are going to listen. So please, if you're putting this information out, you know, garden hose first. Okay. Now, some people might want to drink from the fire hose, you know, but don't try to stick it in their face, you know, like get that conversation going as a two-way conversation. And then you can start providing the knowledge you have. And then maybe they won't agree with everything you say, but at least it would have received some of what you said, you know. So we got to do that. It's our responsibility to get this information out. Like I said, whether it's political, religious, a diet, you know, you want to help somebody with their diet, do it in a smart way.
I prefer to use a crazy straw personally. Yeah.
All right. Well, I need to get us out of here because we're leaving here in about 10 minutes and I got to get ready and everything. So
JJ, what are you drinking?
He thinks he's drinking coffee, but the cup is out.
Good. It's a good start to the day.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll put a little bit of coffee in there and he likes to pretend like he's drinking it. He's got his own little mug, so he likes to be like his peepaw. But anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and get us out of here. So thanks everybody for joining. I'm sorry it didn't populate on Rumble. Hopefully it will. Otherwise, I'll have to just re-upload it. But it was on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. So we had some people watching there. But yeah, I may have to re-upload it. So any final closing words, Angus?
No, have a good day today. Enjoy your second Thanksgiving.
Yes.
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 All right. Well, folks, keep your armor tight and your sword sharp. Until next time.
All right. Take care.